Welcome to Safety First, TÜV Süd's podcast on cybersecurity and more. I'm Sabine Krümer from Corporate Comms at TÜV Süd and your host. Today, I'm joined by Edward Roberts. He's Application Security Strategist at Imperva. We will talk about bad bots, what harm they can do, and how to protect from them. Welcome, Edward. Thanks for taking the time and great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Edward, bad bots made up for 25%+ of all the web traffic last year. What are bad bots and how can they cause harm?
Well, if you think about what you'd want on your website, you want a human sitting on a browser, behaving and doing human-like behaviors, like scrolling the page and clicking on buttons and selecting things that they want to read or purchase. A bot is basically an automated version of that. So they're trying to automate the processes of going through the website. So maybe it would be a good example would be going through a website very quickly in order to purchase a good as soon as it was available. So any automated script that is mm-hmm. trying to achieve something that a human couldn't do would be classified as a bot.
Mm-hmm. So there are bad bots and good bots. Can you make some examples?
Yeah, there's obviously there's good bots that you do want on your site, and as a business, the big example that everybody understands is a search engine. You want them scraping your site, mm-hmm. indexing your content, so that you can be found when somebody searches for those keywords on the internet. So that is one that you would allow and classify as a good bot. The others are bad bots that are doing things that you don't want them to be doing. They might be doing something nefarious. They could be scraping your content and you haven't authorized that. So that's really something that you haven't authorized would be classified as obviously bad.
Mm-hmm. And so how are end users harmed and what harm can happen to companies?
I think the ramifications are very dependent on what's on that website and what that business does. So it really does vary depending on what industry you're in. Mm-hmm. I'll give you an example. If every website today probably has a login page. So if you have a login page, you can guarantee that you have bots that are running credentials that have been stolen from somewhere else and trying to authenticate and see if that account exists on your website. So account takeover, or the techniques are called credential stuffing or credential cracking, are used to get access to the login page on a website. Mm-hmm. And then once they get into that login page, if they do authenticate and they actually go in manually afterwards, they can commit whatever fraud or exploit whatever is inside that account. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine at a financial organization, it's got money in it, at an airlines, it's got air miles in it, at a ticket company, it's got tickets for shows in it. So whatever's inside that account could potentially be, abused and fraud committed.
Is it also relevant for online banking?
Very, very relevant. Obviously, the account takeover is, if you can get into the account, that is the primary problem for that bots are used for, right? So if you can imagine that you run millions of credentials against a site, and if you see some of them authenticate, even with two-factor authentication, which a lot of financial organizations have on there, they can respond in a way that indicates whether that has authorized and served up that second factor, and so you can make determinations based on the reaction of the bot request and the credentials that have been tested. And so what the bots are is the first line of the attack before the actual human next level of the attack. So bots are kind of that automated first pass as to see whether they can to gain access.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it sounds really scary and dangerous, actually. So we should be aware of what kind of bad bots are out there waiting for us. Imperva recently published several types of bots. Can you tell us more about that?
I think we published an annual report called the Bad Bot Report, and we itemize in there that bad bots, the volume of bad bots has gone up since we since last year. So typically they've been around 19 to 22%. This year they've gone up to 25.6%
due to COVID,
We think that there's obviously, as more people have been online and at home, and traffic has increased to websites because you haven't been able to go to real physical stores, for example, in the e-commerce area. We think that the traffic has gone up, and obviously bad bot traffic has also increased. So it will be interesting to see how this changes next year as we get through the COVID pandemic and see if that does change behavior on the internet as well. Mm-hmm. But I think to answer your question about the types of bots, I mean, there is different levels of sophistication of bots that we see. So there are some simple bots that are, you know, some people might classify as internet junk or scripts that are just running around the internet going wild. But there's more and more that we're seeing these sophisticated bots that are trying to evade detection, trying to appear like they're a human, mimicking human behavior. So they might be pausing on a page, scrolling, clicking on a button, moving their mouse in random directions that would be more human-like. And so we're seeing more of that kind of behavior. So the sophistication level used by bot operators to launch these bots has certainly increased.
Mm-hmm. I guess it's also more a growing problem on social media. So how do I identify a bot on social media like Instagram?
Yeah, I mean, the bots on social media, it's obviously, again, it's about, can you control a large amount of accounts? And so all of these, if you can automate account creation and create thousands of accounts, and then you control them, which people call account aggregation. You can influence people by friending whatever group it is, and then you can, you know, influence the dialogue on social media by managing a lot of accounts. And so those techniques that are outlined by OWASP, where they've outlined these automated threats in their automated threat handbook, list all of these techniques. And so you can actually look at each industry, and social media being one where you know, their example is creating these accounts. Mm-hmm. Those are the techniques that are used in order to influence and change, you know, opinion and, you know, sort of take the propaganda approach of social media and influence things in that way.
Okay. But especially on social media, how can I identify or what are the criteria which make me suspicious that this is not a natural person behind this account?
I guess it would be looking for, you know, do they have a lot of normal comments that humans would make? You know, does their interactions seem like they're just reposting other people's things? Do they have a bunch of real people as friends? Are they just trying to befriend influencers? I think there's techniques of looking at the behavior. Where are those friends located? Are they located in different parts of the world from where they live, and they don't have a close circle around them? So I think there's different techniques of looking at social media, but you know, I think the social media companies are obviously very aware of this problem, and I would probably go to those companies and ask them, you know, how you should do that. So it's they're probably the best source of resource for understanding how social media bots are being dealt with by them.
Okay. So, and another industry where bots are a big problem, I think, is ticketing and gaming, right?
Yeah, I think historically ticketing is the one, and ticketing for shows and sporting events is what we're talking about. That was the industry that was the most affected. You know, people have long tried to get tickets for an event. Maybe the tickets were available at 10 a.m. in the morning for that whatever event it was, and they've struggled to get it because, you know, all of the tickets have been taken by automation and bots. And so I think that was the incidents that people saw it first. Mm-hmm. What we've seen now is that it's moved to other industries, and particularly before the holiday period, you know, last year, the gaming consoles were released, and we saw a high demand for gaming consoles and graphics cards, particularly associated with playing using gaming consoles and PCs. We saw a high demand for those items. And they were grabbed up by bots. And then what you see is that those items were not available in stores for your general public, your human, to go and purchase them. They also weren't available in the store. You couldn't go into a store because of the pandemic. So you had this perfect storm of everything was online. And so the bots grabbed all of them. And then now you saw that they were hard to purchase except for paying a premium on a secondary market where you had to go and, you know, sometimes pay over 100% markup on the item. And so you saw it move from ticketing to actual tech goods. We've also seen it in other industries where they have limited edition items and things like sneakers, limited edition sneakers. You see celebrities might release a specific sneaker from a brand. Those are also grabbed by bots and then resold on secondary market. So using that arbitrage that you have, possible from ticketing and using that to make money. So I think the message there is that if somebody can work out a way to make money, they will use bots to automate that process to make sure they can do it at scale.
Okay, so bots are just another tool for criminals, right? Or who's behind these bad bots, actually? Is it a professional, like the mafia?
I think it's a wide range of people. There are genuine businesses that are run. You know, you could say if you're selling tickets or reselling tickets, you would use bots to grab as many tickets as you can to resell them. In some places, ticketing bots are illegal, and in some countries they're not. Mm-hmm. So you've got this gray area where the law is not sort of adjudicating this on a global scale. So you might have regional laws that apply, but in a borderless internet, regional laws don't have much teeth. I think if you're thinking about bots that go into accounts and are trying to access accounts and go and grab whatever's in there and commit credit card fraud or steal information from them, then you're definitely talking about a criminal organization. Mm-hmm. But there's also another group of people. One of the other biggest use cases for bots is scraping content prices. And so if I'm scraping content from a site in order to learn from that, or I'm scraping a price to sort of compare what the price for that item is in that store, in that location, and I change my price in my store, that would be competitive and competitors doing that. And again, it's public information. So that's this gray area of is that legal or not?
Okay.
And in different parts of the world, there are different lawsuits that are adjudicating as to whether those behaviors are legal, depending on where you are. So I think it does run the gamut between being outright criminal to being somewhat of a gray area. And some people think that that's their business, is actually running those bots in order to gain that competitive advantage.
Okay. So as a consumer, how can I protect myself?
I think one of the ones that, is the most obvious is that obviously if you have accounts that you open up on websites and you create an account, make sure that you don't have the same password on different accounts. That is clearly, if you have the same password and you use it on multiple sites, bots are going around indiscriminately checking stolen credentials. And if they're stolen in one site, they just run across to other sites. And if you use the same credentials on there, you're liable to have some fraud because a bot could be used to get into that account. Mm-hmm. So I think if I was to suggest one simple thing is make sure you don't use the same password on multiple sites.
Very simple, but obviously not very logical to many people. They have to keep too many passwords in mind. So that's the problem.
That is the great challenge. And that's what the bot operator is hoping that they can exploit, is that you've used the same password elsewhere because it was too difficult to change it. And so they're relying on people doing that. So unfortunately, the recommendation is also probably the hardest thing to actually do.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you shouldn't fuel the business, right? You shouldn't buy at secondary markets and... What does it mean for marketplaces like eBay or something like that?
I think that's the argument is that, okay, if for example, you couldn't get a gaming console and you were trying to buy one for your family member, and then you looked went to a secondary market and said, okay, here it is, and I can pay a premium for it, mm-hmm. You're fueling that bot behavior, right? So the argument then is, okay, you've paid a little more for it and you've got the item, but have you fueled this you know, for future events, for future products, for future items that might be required. And so, you're sitting there, you're playing into that economy. And, you know, that's a decision that people have to make and whether they want those items. But maybe, you know, consideration of to whether you want to fuel into that, that's probably a consideration that each person should make, whether they want to buy those items in the secondary market.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think about password managers? Are they useful for managing the different passwords? Or
I think that's definitely a solution, right? It's making sure you have a unique password so that if account takeover is happening on websites where you have an account, you're only liable on that or vulnerable on that one site. You're not vulnerable on 100 sites where you've used the same username and password. Mm-hmm, I think as a recommendation, that is certainly one solution that might be viable.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, and on the business side, what should be people aware of when they want to protect their businesses from bad bots?
Yeah, I think that's the trouble here is that one of the interesting asides here is that as the vaccination has been rolled out globally, mm-hmm. Lots of healthcare and pharmacies and health organizations have made it available that they have the vaccine and you could book an appointment. Mm. And so you're sitting there going, that's great. They've made that service available. Mm-hmm. Then helpful bots, which is what I would classify them as, have tried to aggregate it to make people in their local regions say, hey, if you need a vaccine in my locality, mm-hmm. all you've got to do is go to my site and I'll aggregate all of the vaccine appointments for you from these pharmacies or hospitals or other healthcare providers and give you a roadmap of to where to go. That's clearly a bot going mm-hmm. to those pharmacies and hospitals and healthcare providers. Pharmacies and hospitals and healthcare providers have probably not considered the amount of bot traffic that would be coming to scrape the availability of those items. Mm-hmm. So if you think about them, they're actually, trying to make a service available to people. Mm-hmm. And then bots are coming in and scraping it and trying to help people. But they've never considered that maybe that bot traffic might require them to serve a huge amount of infrastructure in order to make sure that they don't go down. Mm. So they're paying more for it. They're now sitting there going, are these real humans or should I be letting this bot traffic? And so it's that weird problem that they have is that they're trying to do something good and they probably weren't even considering that there was going to be all of this influx of bot traffic to get a vaccine. But people were trying to sort of help the general population. So you've got this interesting dilemma of the organization is having to serve this content, but also serve it to bots. Yes. But these bots are also making it available so that more people know about where these vaccines are. Mm-hmm. So you've got this problem of, do I trust that the human on my site is a human?
I'm wondering in which way does automation and AI can help businesses to fight bad bots?
I think that's the if you think about that the problem is automation, you need an automated solution. Mm-hmm. And so AI, machine learning, whatever you want to call it, technology being able to identify whether it's a real human on using a real browser is certainly a viable technique there. So I think, it's not going to be one person sitting there trying to stop all of these bots. You're talking about We've got examples where account takeover attacks of 40 million credentials in a 24-hour period are shown. So it's not like a human is going to be able to do anything around mm-hmm. that. You need automation. Mm-hmm. And obviously machine learning and AI is part of making that automation more effective and understanding the traits and the typical behaviors that you see of that automation. Mm-hmm. So absolutely, it's part of the systems that would be put up to defend against this kind of behavior.
So this is really the only way you can fight it. But what do you think about the capture thing? Is it useful? Is it still or is it just old school and outdated?
I think it's useful for certain bot problems and for certain types of bots. Okay. Is it the perfect silver bullet? No, it doesn't stop all bots. And I think that's the message here is that if you think about the bot problem as an arms race, there is a something done and then there's an obstacle put in the way of a bot operator. If the bot operator gets over that obstacle, then you need to have another obstacle put in front of them. So it certainly is a bit of a cat and mouse game. Mm-hmm. Depending on what the bot operator is trying to do. So you need an obstacle course mm-hmm. that you can put in front of them. Captures are one of those obstacles that you can use. And for certain types of bots, that will be enough. They won't solve the capture. Mm-hmm. For more sophisticated, dedicated bot operators, and I would suggest that there are bot operators around the world mm-hmm. sitting under the logos of companies, and their job 9 to 5 is attacking that business of the logo they're sitting underneath. Yes, yes. And so they're not going to go away. They're actually determined about doing it. So you need different techniques. Capture is one of them. It is not the only technique that you mm-hmm, should be using. Mm-hmm.
And what are trends in this area? Did you identify concrete technical tools or trends that are really a threat?
There's lots of tools that are used to run it as a bot. I think the one thing about capture is it's good for certain businesses where you're putting friction in front of a user and people are willing to actually answer the capture. But for lots of businesses, that extra friction is hurts sales or hurts conversions of items. So for some people, capture is businesses are reluctant to use it because it's so in front of the customer. So a lot of techniques should be actually behind the scenes. And so it should be automated. You shouldn't see that it's happened. So that's where you have, when you talk about machine learning and other technologies, the technologies that you use should happen without any interaction. And they should be proving that you're a human using a real browser in real time.
Mm. How are you protecting yourself against bad bots?
Yeah, so I think there are companies like Imperva that actually offers sort of bot management solutions, and so there are looking at putting these obstacles in front of bot operators, and we deal with some of the most sophisticated bot problems in the world, mm-hmm. And so it's one of those it's a management problem. It's never going to go away. There are businesses yeah. that are being scraped right now. There are businesses that have bots on them as we're talking here, and you need an automated solution that deals with this problem.
Mm-hmm. And in a nutshell, what are the most important things that people should know about bad bots?
Well, I think, it's one of those things. I think it's become a fact of life and businesses are starting to understand it, that they're there. And, the report that we said is, it's over a quarter of all traffic on the internet is automation and bad bots in terms of automation. That problem is not going away. But I think businesses are only starting to now understand that the business ramifications of what they put on the website it gives bot operators a target to try and exploit them and make money. Mm. So if you, for example, if you put a gift card balance checking service, most businesses have gift cards that you can give now. If you put a gift card balance checking service on it, a bot is going to be used to enumerate through various numbers, whether it's 20 digits, 16 digits, whatever the numbers of your gift card, and they're going to work out which numbers have balances and then go and use those numbers to go and purchase items. Mm-hmm. So things like that, understanding what you put on your site. If you put a login page, understand that bots are going to be in there. So how are you going to deal with that problem? If you put prices on your page, there's going to be bots on there. Mm. And so thinking about what you make available, and to lots of businesses, you have to put the price, you have to put a product description, mm-hmm. You have to put photos, you know, even reviews are scraped and copied mm-hmm. from one mm-hmm. site to the next. So product reviews can be scraped by bots mm-hmm. and then duplicated on other sites. So anything that you put on there is liable to be abused by a bot in one way. So trying to look at how your business and understand how your business might be affected by that behavior is a good starting point to understand what your bot problem might be.
Okay. Another thing that just comes to my mind is, what about nation states? Are they using bots more and more?
I think automation is widely used. There are techniques that sort of mimic a browser. There's tools, you know, things like Selenium and a bunch of tools that people can use. So who's using them? You know, absolutely, it could be nation states as well. Mm. Because, you know, automation is just, the definition is basically not a human using a browser, which is on the website. It's just automation that is happening. Absolutely. I think the motivation behind it, different people have different motivations. So, you know, it's criminals, it's competitors. Mm. I'll give you the interesting one. Hedge funds mm-hmm. and financial investment houses are scraping businesses to try and determine the health of that business. So they might scrape to see the availability of thousands of products in mm-hmm. thousands of locations for a certain business to determine, are they having a good quarter? Do they have a good inventory? And so hedge funds are also adding into this to try and get this alternative sources of information to try and understand what investments they would make. So mm-hmm. what information they gather from your website is actually being used to make an investment decision against you.
Okay, but is this illegal or still legal?
No, it's public information, right? Mm-hmm. It's on the website. Okay. So if you can find it, so this is that gray area of, you know, some people might sit there and say that this is, you know, unfair practices, or some people would say, well, it's public information, so we can do it. And that's I think the legislation here is very unclear mm-hmm. around the world. Mm-hmm. And there are different legislations in different parts of the world. There's some legislation, as I said, around ticketing. There's some legislation being brought through now around, you know, because of the gaming console problem in various countries. So it's not unified around the internet. And obviously a borderless internet means that you could move your bot operation to other parts of the world or to other clouds. Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. You know, it would be outside of the jurisdiction of the local law.
Okay. Thank you, Edward. I just learned a lot in this conversation. Thanks for sharing your insights and for being our guest today. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Safety First is produced by TÜV Süd. Technical support, Comcast. You will find all episodes wherever you get your podcasts, on Podigy or at tuvsud.com/podcast. Thanks for listening and stay safe.